All right, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for coming to this session about showcasing project apps. Though this session is in the developer track, we won't show you any code. It's just a 100 level session. What we want to do is we want to showcase to you, if you're customers, the value of apps that have been published by our project partners and that are available for install or purchase. And if you're a developer and thinking about developing either apps for Office or apps for SharePoint, then we want to give you some of more ideas how you can broaden the scope of your the scenarios that you're targeting to apps for project. So my name is Jan Kalis. I'm just a marketing person responsible for many aspects of the project business, including partners and portions of technical readiness. And I'm super happy that I'm joined here today by Eli Sheldon.
Yep, so my name is Eli. I'm a program manager on the project and project server team. I've helped kind of develop our app story and how we relate to apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. Really excited to see you all here.
And Eli was working very closely with our partners. And that's the beauty of being early in the marketplace, in the store, that everyone who is really serious about building apps for project, we will be introducing some more programs where you can plug in and help, and those programs will then help you accelerate your development. So what is the agenda? Well, we want to just briefly cover the apps concept, apps for Office. And we don't go any deep because there is a lot of sessions at SPC that talked about apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. But we just want to show you how this great enhancement, how this great infrastructure has been integrated seamlessly into Microsoft Project and Project Server. And then that's the most exciting part. That's why we are all here, is we will show you a number of apps that are currently in the Office store. And we have not thought about any particular order, so assume they're in random order. And because we had some challenges bringing 8 people here on the stage, so we decided we'll just demo some of them. And it turned out that we will be demoing the European apps plus one of the training apps, and there are some other apps that will be demoed by their respective partners. And then we are sure you will have a lot of questions. So we have a panel at the end where all the representative of individual partners will be here, will be ready to take your questions or maybe give you some more insights about their apps if you need. And then we should have also time for Q&A. So when we built the Microsoft Project, the next release of Microsoft Project, and we, of course, wanted to set it up to a very successful trajectory. And so we always have to step back and think, what are the business challenges and what exactly we want to address with our release? And those topics were covered in very detail during project sessions that took place on Monday. There were 3 overview sessions that talked about project desktop, project online, and project server /PPM. So I definitely encourage you to see some of those if you are interested. We also have built in our release. We have built this release around those 4 pillars. And there are a lot of enhancements, especially how you can get started. And again, a lot of areas from this pillar were addressed already Monday. From the flexible PPM, you can just think project is not just about reactive resource management. It's also about proactive resource management. You can schedule ahead resources. You can see what your resources are doing. But most importantly, you can choose the right projects that really suit your business needs. Because project is built on top of SharePoint, then the reason why you're here is that we all know that SharePoint is a great collaboration platform. There are a lot of very exciting aspects in this release, including the social capabilities that really add on value to the project management every day. So this is another very interesting pillar that applies to project. And agility and control. So I don't have too much time in this session to, for example, show you how a IT manager can manage all those applications that were purchased by different people, or how the requests flow between the IT and the individual owners or the individual users in an enterprise. But what we will show you is how you, as an individual person, individual project manager, or maybe PMO member, can leverage the value of Project Ops. So before we go to the next slide, I just would like to see a show of hands. How many of you are project managers, or who would qualify themselves or classify themselves as project managers? So it's roughly half of the room, okay? How many of you are developers? Okay, so we have roughly 50-50% split. Interesting point that if I saw correctly, and maybe, I'm sorry, I may have partied last night a lot, but it felt to me that some of you were said you were developers and you were project managers, right? And for those of you, I would like to highlight another gorgeous solution that Microsoft have, where we bring in the two worlds of the project manager and developer through integrating the Team Foundation server and Microsoft Project Server. So the developer can just check in the code or just submit some estimates through Team Foundation server. They're working with their work items or whatever they know in the dev world. And all those changes, all those suggestions flow seamlessly to the PM world and are updating the schedule on the PM side. So let me now step back and think about the value, the beauty of this new world of extensibility, and what is the value for you as a developer and for you as an end user, and how do those two worlds came closer in this release. So on the slide, what you can see, I don't think I need to ask you what guy is a developer and who is the end user. Everyone understands that the developer on the right-hand side, or is it the other way around? I'm just kidding, of course. So the developer on the left-hand side has this great idea. And what he wants to do, he wants to execute that idea. He wants to build this gorgeous app, and he wants to publish it. He wants to basically address the end user need. And of course, the end user, whenever she will see it on her surface that unfortunately is cut on the picture on the left-hand side, then she could very seamlessly, from within Microsoft Project or Microsoft Project Server, Microsoft Project Online, acquire that app and start using it. And so whenever that app is ready, the developer publishes it into the app store. We are not talking about how the process of publishing works, what is the pricing model, et cetera, et cetera. This was addressed during Monday's session that Dean Cleaver with Asha Shah had, and they were talking about those aspects. But for the end user, it means that whenever the app is published in the app marketplace, you're virtually one click away from installing that app. And on the other side, you know that the app is validated by Microsoft. And if you don't like it, then you can remove the app, and the app doesn't leave any footprint. And now, another very interesting scenario that this extensibility model opens are so-called apps for Office, where you can surface some contextual data, excuse me, from server to user's desktop. So imagine you're, for example, working on a Word document and want to insert some project status. Wouldn't it be great if you would have something, some app, that would surface that information and would let you seamlessly add this to the document? Or maybe you're working on your project in Microsoft Project, and you want to know some more information about that particular resource from your line of the business system, et cetera, et cetera. So the possibilities are endless. All those apps are built on top of SharePoint and Office, and we give you also the style sheet that makes sure that the app looks stunning. It almost looks like Office, and for the end user, it's very hard to say where the app that you built ends and where the app, where the out-of-the-box functionality of Microsoft Project or SharePoint begins. There is a lot of client extensibility topics that we can talk about. Unfortunately, we don't have time for it. It was not designed in this session to talk deeply about this. Eli covered this topic yesterday during their extensibility session. So if you want to know for developers what's in there for you, check out this this session. It has been recorded. What I want to show you is just a screenshot of how easy it is to acquire an app. Or maybe what I'll even do, I'll just do a live demo, because that's probably why you came. And the internet gods are standing behind us today, so everything works, which is great. I was just joking that it's very easy to sell a coffee without caffeine, but it's hard to demo online without internet. But so that's why we were prepared with a number of screenshots. So you can see here I am in my Microsoft project, and I can very easily hit this button. There are a number of apps that I have already used, that I have already installed. I can go to see all, so I see all the apps that I have purchased, or I can also say there might be some special apps that are shared by my organization, or potentially I can find more apps on the Office store, and it will show me this beautiful web page where I can, for example, browse all apps for project and acquire or install any of those. And these are apps that are already there that you can use, you can try, and that we are talking about more today. So now maybe the next logical question that you're asking is, how does it look when I install or add this app to my project in this example? So I'll insert this Bing search app, which is just a very, very simple app that, by the way, is available in our SDK. It's just you can write this app in a notepad very easily. And you can see that on the right-hand side, we expose the app functionality to you. And for example, we can search for this great hashtag. I'm sure everyone is tweeting. So if you want to find out what does this, the three-letter or four-letter or five-letter, whatever number it is, means, you can Bing it. So this was one example how easy it is to discover and add apps into Microsoft Project desktop application. This works seamlessly in Project Professional, Project Standard, and Project Pro for Office 365. Okay, so let me skip those slides because you have already seen this all. And let me move on to server extensibility. The server extensibility is double that exciting for us because we are building on top of SharePoint, as I mentioned. There are a number of options that you can customize, meaning you don't even have to write code. If you have seen the stunning options that, for example, SharePoint Designer enables to build really great workflows, you can use those tools now with Project Online or Project Server. Business intelligence, the Power View, a lot and lot and lot is just out of the box, requires customization, no code. So you just use Excel or SharePoint Designer. If you want to roll up your sleeves, like our partners did, and you want to code your app, you of course can do it. And again, there was a dedicated session. I keep clicking wrong mouse here, I'm sorry. There was a dedicated session yesterday where Chris Boyd covered this topic in very detail. So I do encourage you to look at that if you are interested. We also have our SDK that already has all this information included, and we are working on our Project Ignite that also will have way more information included here. So now when we're talking about the server apps, let me switch to my demo and show you how, again, easy it is to add a app for Project Server in this case. So this is my PWA. By the way, this is Project Online. And if I, for example, hit this gear button, I can either add an app, and it would show me all the apps that I could add in this context, or I could see all the apps. I cannot add those apps here because they're already added, they're already installed. But the same way, I can click the SharePoint store, and I can browse the same store that you just seen before. And so if you want to launch an app, then you just go to site contents, in this case, and click on any of these apps to launch them. There are different ways how what the apps do, and we'll show this to you in the moment. So with that, let me move to our slide deck again and invite Greg Bailey on the stage. He will demo you the application. It was the first application for Project Desktop that allows you to extend a very interesting scenario. So, Greg, I'll just switch you on here. There is your mic, sir.
Thank you, I'll be your mic
holder if you want as well.
Either one. I can do it either way.
Okay.
Does that work?
So before Greg starts his demo, I just want to also highlight that this is a very interesting scenario where Microsoft Project enables you to grow from a SharePoint task list. And this is exactly the scenario that they're extending in their app. So imagine you start working in Excel. Well, how many of you are planning projects in Excel? Anyone? Huh? No one. Or you're too shy, or
no
you're
one.
Doing
too
email.
Good.
You're too good. Yeah. Okay. So you can very seamlessly copy these tasks to SharePoint, to a SharePoint list, and then whenever you want to start scheduling resources or saving baselines and doing some reporting, you just press the button on the ribbon, and it will seamlessly open the project in Project Desktop. And that's exactly the scenario that Greg is addressing in their application.
Exactly. So two things we were trying to prove out as we were building these apps. One is, how do we enable SharePoint data to come into an Office application? And two, how do we also enable the new Project Online data to come into the application? So what you're seeing here is, again, as Jan said, Office apps for Office. We have now the Shark Pro application in here. Couple of things you're seeing here, we haven't put in the latest release that we're able to put out, but just so you know, all of this data and our application is sitting out there in Azure. So, and it's being served up through Azure, it's pulling the data out of the project server, and it's pulling the data out of SharePoint. So we are leveraging the Microsoft Azure platform for this. So what I can quickly do is I can actually go in and say, all right, I want to take a look at the issues on the projects, I want to look at the risks on the projects, I want to look at any documents on the projects that may be there or not there. And I'm just going to
You're there.
There we go.
So you're telling me that I don't need to launch my browser and go back and find the document library. I can do everything right from Microsoft Project.
Right within Microsoft Project. And not only that, I can actually open up the document. And as you had said, Jan, which I'll give you a little preview, in some of the new ones that we're going to be releasing out there in the marketplace, you actually will automatically have an Agave in Word that actually will bring up all of that project data in the document itself. So we'll actually be able to automatically create that status report, automatically create the project charter, automatically have all that data from the project system.
Yeah, it's here.
In
so
there.
I can work on it, I can save it. It's saved back to my SharePoint list,
yes,
or SharePoint document library. I can have all the versioning, all the workflows, and all the goodness notifications, whatever have you in SharePoint. That's pretty powerful, and it's just right from my project management desktop. Or is it a default tool? Because I'm just wondering, if I come to work, I launch Outlook. And I'm wondering, if you are project managers, you come to work, you launch project, right? Is that the case?
And I would say, be prepared for some of this in Outlook very soon from Shark Pro out on the marketplace too. Because we do know a lot of people do use Outlook and they do communicate. So we want to be able to pull that SharePoint data in We want to be able to prepare that information. So right now we're pulling a lot of the basic list items. I can actually update here what's the due date for this issue, and that'll actually then go back to the SharePoint site as well. So I can, it communicates both ways back and forth from within project, and then back and forth to the SharePoint site. And you'll be able to see this where you'll be able to actually edit, change, and decide what fields you want to pull into here yourself.
Yeah, let's take questions. We have a few minutes for questions. So
do you want to jump to the mic real quick?
Yeah,
so we don't have to repeat the question.
The session is recorded, so we want your question to be recorded as well.
Okay, please. Sure. I just wanted to make sure I understood that correctly. So what you're saying is the activity line is associated with the deliverable, and the deliverable is in the document, and now the document can be viewed within project and open from project.
That is correct.
Yeah,
All the data live
in SharePoint. Their app exposes this additional data right in project.
Right. So again, how do we keep people in a single view where I can get at that data in a nice portal? You know, we have a Shark Pro Projects, which is a pre-configured. That's all coming over, more full application 13. But right here, this really tells you the benefit of what you're going to be get from these apps from the App Store, and that partners really need to start building these apps.
And Mark, you had a question.
That's not out of line. I was wondering how you are going to license that. Obviously, there are some apps that have a one-time off cost, but you mentioned Azure. Have you thought about licensing cost in that regard?
We've thought a lot about the licensing. I will say that we're still looking a little bit at the licensing. That's why you're still seeing our apps out there for free. So we're right now letting everybody download them for free. Right now, they're an initial purchase. We do have some apps that we're going to have free that may have an upgrade to an advanced version, and some that are just going to be free. So again, eventually there might be a slightly different pricing, but it has to do with the Office Store right now.
Yes, absolutely. So you're hitting a very good point. You're mentioning subscription, and that's exactly what will be available in the future. We cannot comment on when, but our teams are working very hard on enabling you to auto-provision exactly what you saw in the keynote. You build your app, portion of it lives in Azure. You deploy that app, and it gets auto-provisioned by the store backend, if you will, and this model will be announced a little later. Yep. Greg, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Nice. So thank you very much for the first demo. Let me show you another demo here. I'll demo this myself. So let me switch the screens a little bit. So the next demo is historically very first project application. Companna and Schott, a German partner, PPM partner, have built their milestone trend analysis, and they were the first one who conquered our process of publishing the apps. I exaggerated a little bit. The process is quite streamlined. We give you all the checks that you need. There's a lot and lot on MSDN. So if you're a developer, you know what to be ready for. But I just wanted to highlight that they were the first app that was available in the store. So let me give you a quick look. They actually have two apps at the moment. The one is being published, which is the multi-project editor. So now we are moving from the world where the project lives in SharePoint and your hardcore project manager working with your project desktop. Now we are moving to the world where you're using Project Online. You're managing your portfolios. You may be submitting some more information on projects, et cetera. So this is maybe the higher maturity scenario. And in this scenario, imagine you're sitting in a meeting, it's a steering committee meeting, and you need to change some high-level project data, typically custom fields. And how to do it today? Well, you need to do one project by one project, check them out, change the data, et cetera, et cetera. This multi-project editor from Companna and Schott actually lets you very easily do the same for you. So it's just connecting, so I just click the app, I already installed it, and what you can see, this is list of all projects that I have in this particular instance. And I can very easily multi-select, maybe I can very quickly sort by department or category, so I can multi-select those projects. I said, well, because I am project manager of these, then imagine this worked, I'll try it again. And what you can do now is that you can start editing those projects right here. So I'll try again. And you see this tiny pen here, and I can maybe change. I can change some custom fields. I can change the proposal cost if I need, etc., etc. And when I'm done, I can save the changes or I can cancel the changes. So you can edit multi projects at the same time. Okay, isn't that interesting as well? So if you would say, well, we have seen this before, we used to have a similar solution starter that allowed you to do very similar thing. However, this is fully supported, this is fully backed by the partner, and if you run into any issues, you can talk to them, and they'll be happy to resolve this very quickly. Another interesting app that I would like to show you from Compana and Shot is the milestone trend analysis. So if I go to site contents, I can click this milestone trend analysis that I've already installed to this tenant. And what this basically is doing is that in this scenario, what I'm doing it is it looks across all the projects in the portfolio and looks at the individual milestones that are in those projects. And I have hit take a snapshot. So I'm basically snapshotting those milestones at this very time, and you can see I'm snapshotting them across all the projects in my whole project portfolio. As the time progresses, those milestones dates might have changed, so you would see those nice trend lines as the milestones progress, and you can track very easily the milestones and your projects through this milestone trend analysis. Have I forgotten about anything? Is that good? Okay, thank you. So, another very useful application. Let me show you another app. This time, I'll switch back to the slides here. Okay, so this is the first app from the category of trainings. And we do expect more of those apps. Project Hosts, one of our PPM partners who provide additional value with dedicated hosting of Microsoft Project Server, build this quick start. So this app actually allows you to, or walks you through the tour of how to use Microsoft Project Web App. So if you're a Project Server user, you can leverage this app. Let me show you how it works. So the idea, what they had when they designed the app, they wanted to make using of PWA very simple. So I click on their app, and what basically happens is that it opens a tutorial window, if you will, that you can basically very easily use side by side with your PWA at work. So for example, here am I, and I want to know how do I create projects. Okay, so in this tutorial, et cetera, go to projects. So that's exactly what I will do. I'll go to projects. And then when I'm in projects, I need to click projects and browse the project type here, which is exactly what I'm doing now. So you can see how very easy it is to follow their guidance for a specific topic and in your own corporate environment just learn those basics. And if you're a partner, if you're a training and learning partner and you want to build up and up like that, I think those apps would be very popular because they add value to your customer, obviously. And what we haven't mentioned yet is that there might be, because we haven't talked about the corporate marketplace or corporate catalog,
for sure,
which basically allows you as an app provider to create a specific app for your particular customer. So if you have a large customer that maybe wants to have a specific methodology or specific training exposed to them in this type of tutorial, you can do it as well. All right, let's move on. I tend to talk a lot because I'm marketing, so let's move back to the demo. Another set of apps, it's actually three apps, that I would like to showcase is by another German partner, TPG. It's interesting that both of those partners are very renowned for integrating with line of the business systems. So if you want to integrate with SAP or some other lobby system, talk to them. The two apps that I would like to, or three apps, as I mentioned, that I would like to show you are, and let me switch my demo machine here again. The one is WBS chart, Work Breakdown Structure Chart. This app basically looks at your project and creates this work breakdown structure, something similar like the network diagram, and it's right there in the browser, right there in the on the server. Another app that I would like to, let me show this app first, and then let's show the other apps. The beauty of those three apps is that they either work as an immersive app, that's what we call, this is what we call immersive app in the full screen, and you can now choose what project do you want to show out from your portfolio. So for example, because I'm showing the WBS, I select the project WBS, you can see that it's being read, and here is my WBS. I can scroll through if I want, I can see the status, I can also see some KPIs from the project. So there is a custom field that shows particular color, and they show it to you right here in this chart. You can see some dates, etc., etc., etc. And you see that it's very interactive. If you click all the way to the bottom, if I would scroll all the way to the bottom, they highlight the milestones, etc., etc. So you can very quickly get a feel of how your project is structured. The beauty about these apps is that they are either immersive or web part app. So, app part, I'm sorry. So if you want to add them to your project site, then you can do that as well. Another app that I'm very excited about is the risk chart. How many of you are tracking risks but don't have good tools to have a high-level view of all the risks associated with your project? So this heat map shows all the risks associated with your project. And you can, of course, if you would be addressing those risks, then you would go to the most critical risks, the red ones, and you can see, well, luckily, whew, I have only one. And you can click and edit this risk. It's just the risk that lives in the SharePoint project workspace. By the way, one thing you're noticing here may be when you read the browser window, you can notice that not only the whole project, the full project web app now works in all modern browsers, but obviously all these apps work in all modern browsers. That's a huge enhancement compared to the 2010 release before. Let me go back to another app, which is the milestone trend analysis. I have actually found that this has been very popular type of report in Europe. And I'll pick this demo MTA project that already has some snapshots. And you will very quickly see how my snapshots are evolving. You can see the labels or the legend of all those milestones, and you can very quickly see how your project is doing and how it's trending. So let's have a round of applause for these apps. Another app that we would like to talk to you and show you is application from UMT. And you probably heard about Essentials, UMT's Project Essentials. So They have recently published their Essentials Lite app that brings their Project Essentials, the best of Project Essentials, right to the Office Store and Project Online. Ben Chamberlain from UMT has will do a great walkthrough. So Ben, you have the floor.
So UMT Essential Lite brings powerful cost estimating, organizational budgeting allocation, and multi-currency capabilities to Project Online. So someone going to hold the mic for me, was I?
I can do that job.
It's our job.
Excellent. So once you have Essentials Lite installed from the Office Store, you can simply click down and see how the internet's working. I'm going to go to administration pages, where basically, okay, you get to configure your enterprise financial structures, your cost structure, your cost centers for organizational budgeting and multi-currency, and link them to EPTs, enterprise project types, that have been defined in the system. So I'm not going to show you all of this, but very quickly, if I drill down into the cost structure, you'll see you have the ability to define a hierarchical cost structure to standardize your financial structure across the organization. It can be simple like this, can be more complex. You can then break it down into different cost templates. The cost templates could be all of the structure, could be part of the structure. You're going to associate those structures to EPTs, so projects created from those EPTs inherit those structures. If we go to cost centers, you get the ability to define alphanumeric cost centers, which are used for organizational budgeting. Here we see finance, HR, IT that have been defined in the system. Again, you have the ability to define cost center templates. I'm not going to go into that. But exciting feature, multi-currency. So here you have the ability to define an enterprise currency. Let's wait for this to come up. Here the enterprise currency has been defined as US dollars. And for this particular organization, euros and British pounds are applicable for this organization. So you can add currencies that are applicable to the organization, and more importantly, you can manage the time phase currency rates. These change over time, obviously, within this table. So here you see a period and the relative rate for euro relative to the enterprise currency, which is US dollars. And I can add an additional rate here, which we picked up through the time phase grid. Again, this is not meant to be a session on how to administer the tool, but here I'd then assign all the templates defined to the enterprise project types that have been created in Project Server. So from there, let's take a look at actually capturing cost estimates into the system. So if I go back to Project Web App here, I'm just going to go straight to Project Center and excuse the amount of demo data that we have here. I'll open up the one project that we do have that's been created.
Or we can say you're a brand new project manager and right. You manage only one project. That's why it shows up only one project.
Exactly.
Right?
There's extensive permissions on this particular site. So here I am in this project. So if I go to the project site, we'll be able to take a look at the cost estimating capabilities from Essentials Lite. So we're going up to the site, and here. Okay, here it comes. So if I click now on Essentials Lite, we're going to see the time phase grid, and I've already captured data here. We should see it in a second.
So the OAuth is going on the back end. So we are trying to authenticate the app that is calling from Azure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back
that's
to
correct.
The system.
That's
so that's
correct.
What you that was the quick reader that you saw.
Give it a couple more seconds. I think it was standing idle for a while. Okay, it's definitely coming. Okay, so here we see a time phase grid. I've already captured data in here. You can see the financial structure that's been defined and the templates being used for this EPT or this project created from this EPT. You can see how the estimates have been broken down by the cost centers here, broken down by two funding sources, HR and IT. So through the governance settings, you have the ability to determine what level this should open up at, what granularity in the cost structure and time granularity. And of course, you can play around. So I can move from months to quarters and even move away from the enterprise currency to back to the euros that we showed earlier and see the cost of the project in euros. And that's where I'm going to leave. this presentation.
Wonderful. This was awesome. Thank you so much, Ben.
So I'm going to take over for a moment and demo another app. This is from our partner, Solvin. They've created an app called Track Timesheet Go. This is more for the team member scenario. So let's say you're a team member, you're working on a project. You know, you have a hard time remembering at the end of the week exactly how long you spent on each task. Maybe as you go, you want to start logging time and have it track accordingly. So if we could switch to
number two,
please. So I'll go ahead and I'll launch their app, Solvin Track Timesheet Go. They just provided a quick link to it here, same way as all the other apps. I could also go to site contents. And so this is kind of an immersive app. It launches this sort of full screen experience for you. And so you can imagine that, let's say I want to start working on a task like demoing a Track Timesheet Go. Go ahead and click on this little man. He starts running over here with some nice animations. And I can let this go. I can come back to it later. It'll still be going on. Eventually, let's say I'm done with this task. I want to figure out which project and which task I want to assign this to. So then I can then submit this update to my manager so they can approve my time, I can get paid, et cetera. So this will surface the list of projects that you have. And as you load the project, you'll then be able to choose which task this is. This falls under my presentation. I could let this go. It'll round up your work to the nearest 15 minutes just because we don't want it to be too granular. And you can stop the guy. You could add a bunch more tasks if you wanted, more activities, and then submit it into my timesheet. So this is sort of like a timesheet replacement. It's just the same as applying it through my timesheet. And if I go back, and now I kind of pretend that I am the approver for this, I'm the manager of the person that just submitted this, you should be able to see this show up immediately in the approvals as if it had been submitted through the normal timesheet. So if I scroll this over, you'll see demoing Track Timesheet Go as the comment, and the task and the project are there, and the time would be listed as well. So I really like that app. I think it's great. I know that they have some plans to extend the functionality as well, so we should see some updates there soon.
All right. Very, very exciting, too. I especially like the animation of the walking Ampelmann. If you've been in Berlin, then it gets kind of the sense of the city. Let's move on to another app, which is a recently published task analyzer. And it will be demoed by Chet Sensei. It's a brand new PPM partner. They have been very active. They provide not only services, but also they build stunning apps. And I'll let Chet show one of theirs.
Great. Yeah, so we...
I'll be your mic holder.
All right, great. So we generated the task analyzer basically to look at each task and make sure the quality of the task are good and check for any potential issues on each task. So this application works in Project Professional as well as Project Standard. So any MPP file that you can open, as well as projects from Project Server as well.
And the app is available as of now. So if you're running Project 2013 and you have your schedule that you're working every day, then you can just try that app right now from here. Wi-Fi is working, so you can try it now.
All right. So this is a task pane application that goes through each highlighted task and looks for potential issues. It aligns with PMI's best practices of scheduling standards. So you'll be able to look at. So right now I'm showing just a highlighted task here. There's no issues here. It's 100% compliant. And as I scroll through, it goes through each one. There's no problem so far.
You're a good project manager.
Yeah, I am. And then we have an issue here. We have no resources assigned at a detailed task level.
It's fine. It will be done by itself. It's
okay.
Fine.
Yeah, so we can just go into, to fix that issue, just go in, assign a resource. We can assign Johnny here and close it. And you'll see it automatically refreshes and says 100% compliant. So you can continue going through. You can see here we have an external dependency constraint. And you can decide, well, that's okay, it's an external dependence. We're allowed to have that constraint. So you can choose to ignore that one if you want. You can go through here and you can see we have a task here that needs to be verb-driven, action-oriented. So basically it means it's not detailed enough. If you give this to an end user, they're not going to know what to do with it. If it's a standalone without knowing what the WBS structure of the summary tasks in there. So if you wanted to write it Nick, thank you. Oops. And then it's going to come back and give you, let you know it's 100% compliant. It's going to check for things like blank tasks. You don't want to have those in your schedule as well, so you can go ahead and delete those. And so on. So, and as you go through, it's going to check each one. You can have multiple issues on there. So you can go through this as all the way through the project you want. But what I want to know is, what I want to show you now is how you get the logic behind those checks. So if you go here for the checks, we have them separated by WBS checks, resource checks, links, and schedule. So you as an organization can go through and determine whether you want each check to be a warning, an issue, or just a message, or you can ignore them completely. And you can go through and you can make decisions if you want, like tasks with duration longer than, you know, you can change this as an organization. If you want to change that to 10 days, you can make that setting. And if you have it deployed to your corporate store, you can set these as defaults for your organization or lock them down as well.
Awesome. I love it, Chet.
Okay.
So the little I here is here because I haven't purchased that app yet. So you just...
So cheap, Jan. You're so cheap.
You just sold me. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I was just going to say briefly, we're working on a schedule analyzer as well. They'll be able to check all your schedules and give you a score and give you a report of all issues rather than a one-by-one. But that'll have to go against Project Server. So let's look for that in the future.
Yep. Absolutely. So the future is bright. Again, thank you so much. The next planned agenda is actually have all the partners who presented or whose applications we have presented come to the stage and answer any questions that you might have, either answer the questions, or if you don't have any questions, then we have questions for them. But it is not end of the session, so please don't...
This is the fun part.
This is the fun part. So just to recap a little bit, what we have seen here, we have seen a number of applications that extend the Microsoft project. And let me bring up the list here. So we've seen apps from SharkPro, Greg Bailey. We've seen component shot milestone trend analysis, and they're represented here as well. I did the demo by my own. Sorry about that. We've seen application from Project Hosts. Scott is here. It was the tutorial, if you will. Then we have seen three apps from TPG. Stavros is right here as well. MTA chart, risk chart, and WBS chart. Then Ben presented, where are you? Right here. Okay, showed the UMT essential slide. I like the naming, by the way. Solvin, we are representing Solvin here in this case. And Sensei, Chet is here. So any questions to any of these gentlemen?
Please use the microphones again so we don't have to repeat the question. Thank you. Go ahead. You got
good
it.
Lot. from a development point of view, what do you think right now is the biggest challenge to actually develop online?
And before you answer, please note the session is recorded. Well, if I can answer it before, I'm happy to share your opinion there as well. I think that one of the biggest challenges that we have seen, and why I'm saying it, because with my colleague Christoph Eisinger, we've been doing a so-called Project Ignite tour, where we actually talked to over 500 developers and partners. And the biggest challenge is probably embracing the new model that there's no fully trusted code running on the server. Things like workflow could be achieved through SharePoint Designer. But on the other hand, I think that you have seen that, for example, UMT, they had really robust application, and they just stepped back and they said, well, what is the most used component? And they brought it to the web. So on the other hand, the Office Store, it's a huge, huge opportunity just to just to advertise your app to more than 750 million users. So that's my take on it. And I'll start with Scott, or who wants to?
Yeah,
wants
feel free to pass. Feel free to pass the mic around.
So who wants to share another opinion? Okay, Stefan, please.
Yeah, I'd rather like to turn it around, because when we talked with our developers internally, they said, yes, you've got to learn app model and all those, as Jan mentioned, but they said the new object models in Project Server in the cloud, CSIM, JSON, and so on, actually are far easier to learn for them than the very old ones, PDS and so 2003, or the PSI, so that's one initial learning curve, but then very quick to productivity.
Great, awesome. And our API supports multiple types of devices and standards, so you can access the Project Server interface through .NET or JavaScript or Silverlight or even OData. So you can use OData to read and write data. That's really powerful. Anyone else?
Everything was perfect. Excellent. Good. That's great. Wonderful news.
Mark, any other questions, please? Okay, so please go ahead. Okay, so are there any other questions from the audience? No, okay.
We got one down there.
Please, okay.
If you want to run up to the mic, that'd
or
be phenomenal.
I can repeat the question for you. Okay, great. So great question. So that's a question on Stavros. If you can have a dashboard type of view for the TPG applications. And because, as I mentioned, you can not only use those apps in the immersive mode, you can use them in the app part mode. So you can just add them as a web part to your project site or to any site, and you can see side by side those like the two charts that you want, plus maybe even some other Excel report that you want.
Yep.
Okay,
sorry.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Thank you.
When you do the development of the apps, do you in any form consider other apps from other third parties and how they may interfere with yours?
Yeah, interesting question on interoperability. Anyone wants to speak about that? Scott?
I can just say that when we were doing our tutorial, we had to think through what browsers we were going to support, you know, for the tutorial. That was the main issue we ran into in that light.
Yeah, and the good news for you being an user is that our process, also the validation process when partner submits up to the marketplace, also validates this aspect. So if your app wouldn't be supporting all the browsers or meet all the requirements, then we would need to come back to you and you'll need to fix it before we can publish it. So the end user is really expecting first-class functionality.
No, I'm standing up to use the microphone if you had.
On that, how long does it take to submit and get an app approved?
So I can comment on that. It'll definitely vary by traffic. I'd say kind of right at the beginning, as we were about to launch the public review, it took a little bit more time as we were kind of figuring out exactly the full validation process there. But we work very closely. I personally work very closely with the validation team. They're over in Dublin testing all of our apps. I would say the average time you should expect if you were to do it today would be maybe 3 to 5 days from the time you submit it to the time it actually goes live in the store. That's assuming everything goes well. Usually, when you submit it, they run sort of a quick metadata check just on all the basics. So you can find out right away if you've missed any of the really obvious things, and that'll come right back to you for a resubmission. But then as they do their kind of full behavioral testing, they'll send you a report with anything that went wrong, and then you're able to resubmit right away. So I think we commit to something like a few weeks, but it's definitely been on the 3-ish days spectrum for now. And hopefully we'll continue that way.
All right, thank you. Any questions from the audience? Yes, please.
So if you're choosing one of the apps and you're adding it into your project server or whatever it is, Is there an ability to leave feedback for extensions within that product? Because I've already noticed from a few of them some sparks going off in my mind. So if I was to use them, I would want to be giving some feedback.
Show it real quick?
Yeah, please,
I can. I can show this real quick. If you. So if we go into the store really quick. So each app in the store has a page like you'd expect. hold on,
I actually realized last night it's quite interesting. The pools at the party were heated, but inside the rooms are just freezing cold. It's the paradigm of Vegas.
Let me go the real way to the store because I was living there. Internal version. Anyway, each app has a page. This page should show you screenshots or potentially videos of the app. It'll show you feedback that anyone else has left and a set of ratings and contact and support information from the developer, a link to their website. And so this is the place that you would go and be able to leave feedback. Let me pull up. So, for instance, I'll show the, so type of feedback here.
While you're demonstrating
sure.
that, so then further, for the gentlemen on the stage, what are they doing in their respective organizations to monitor that feedback, turn it back around, and proactively engage?
So, Eli, did you want to quickly talk about the process itself, or... Because we have a process behind this. The problem that we run into is that if you as a user submit your review and you say, well, this didn't work and I didn't like it, then unfortunately, because we are not disclosing any personal information with the partner, so the partner doesn't have a way to contact you. And so if you're running into an issue, then there's usually a link for either in the app or when you're installing the app, that ability to contact the company or contact the support. So I think that would be best bet.
Less for issue, more on.
Just for
even
so,
better.
Yeah, I think
even
the question is how how you guys respond to feedback.
Feature enhancements.
Feature enhancements. I mean, right now we're expecting we're going to get a lot of feature enhancements, and we're already working on things. So even people that are already putting in things to support at sharkprosoftware.com. We're getting a lot of feature enhancements that we are building into the backlog, so please submit that.
And I think on your publishing portal, you probably see a roll-up of this information. So there is a dashboard for you to track this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Cool. Great question. Thank you.
Hey, I'm from SharkPro. So we get the feedback as a vendor. What we need next and what I think you're planning to do is to be able to put comments on your feedback.
Yes.
So
yep,
then
absolutely.
I can say that's
yes,
been fixed,
yes.
And you'll be served it up automatically when you you load it.
That is definitely in the works.
That's a great feedback. I think there are some important people in the room who are listening to the feedback. Thank you. Great.
Other questions? We still got some time left.
So I would like to ask you guys another question, because now what we showed, we talked about multi-devices, but what we showed, we showed Office Store and SharePoint Store. Are you thinking about any stunning or upcoming Windows 8 apps that might rock the project manager's world as well? Who wants to start?
I mean, I'm prepared to start. We absolutely are building Windows 8 applications, so being able to have a tablet and surface that project management info to an executive walking around or even to a PM walking around. So I would say get ready. You know, you'll start to see the touchscreen stuff, and, you know, what Microsoft has always wanted is doesn't matter what your device is, but for sure we want to make sure Windows 8 and get that out first, but you'll see a lot more of that. I think I'm sure most of the other partners are going to be doing some of that too pretty soon here.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Great, thank you. So, are there any questions? Mark, please, don't shy.
One more. Have you thought about, especially when it comes to the Azure place and you store data of your clients and the client decides not to continue that service, how do you anticipate to get the data back? That's often a very big concern of customers.
Well,
So technically, really, there's no data stored in Azure, right? That's just really where the application is. The data is still stored in online. So a customer really can, and that's the whole benefit of this market, of the Office Marketplace. I can choose not to use that app anymore, and then it's just not served up. But the data doesn't go in. The data is still in Office 365.
I totally see what is your scenario. Maybe there is a BI app that you want to build some report, and you want to fetch some data, consolidate them, and render them. So maybe the consolidation and the consolidated version of the data may live on the Azure. So I think that this would be also partially addressed by the auto provisioning and the subscription model. But great question, Mark. We'll follow up. Anyone wants to add something before we wrap up the discussion panel? No? All right, great. Thank you so much. I know this. The SBC is almost over. We have still 1.5 days to go. There are great sessions about project. You have seen, you may have seen some of them. If you missed them, then good news is that they're recorded. We will be at the Ask the Expert, so if there is a question that comes up to your mind a little later, come to see us, please. We have a project booth as well, where we are happy to do a demo of Project Online or answer any questions that you might have. And we also are working very hard on making available project hands-on labs in the hands-on lab area. I hope it will be later today. So if you want to physically play with the product, then you can do it. What are the next steps? Try the new project. Try apps if you're a customer. Think about building the scenarios, or think about scenarios to start building if you're a partner. And of course, tell everyone about how great Microsoft Project is. And think about it, if you're a SharePoint partner, think about it as a great partner opportunity as well, because Project is, we sometimes consider it as advanced workload. And so there is a natural flow of SharePoint partners into the project and portfolio management competency, though you need to keep in mind specific aspect of the PPM competency, like the business aspect of it. So if you liked it, submit your review. If you didn't like it, submit it as well, but tell us why. Thank you so much.
Thanks to all the partners up here.
And also, thank you very much to partners for the great work and for their time and dedication to come up on the stage. Thank you so much. If there are any questions, we are here available, so please come to us, talk to us.